Monday, 21st of August 2000. Last week we said we will talk about Jannat and Jahannam, and then we will talk about A'raf. Now we talk about Jannat, or Jahannam. It took me 2 days to think whether we should talk about Jannat first or Jahannam. And finally, I'm of the opinion that rather than talk about Jannat or Jahannam, I'd rather talk about A'raf first. If out of A'raf, I'm going to go to Jannat or Jahannam. In any case, I must tell you this much, that apart from physical description of Jannat, that Jannat is a place where rivers will be flowing, rivers made of honey, palaces made of rubies, yakut, and marjan and all that. Right? These are the physical description of Jannat. Or when it comes to Jahannam, you have nar, hot drink, as in water or whatever it is, or bari'a, whatever the names are given to the fruit that will be there. These are all physical description of Jannat and Jahannam. A more interesting study, rather than describing physically the Jannat or the Jahannam, a more interesting study would be the philosophical aspect, that is Jannat going to be as physically, as physical as Allah has specified in the Holy Quran, with food and clothes and drink the way He has said in the Holy Quran, or is it going to be something different? And based on that, I don't want to enter into Jannat lest, we will leave something. That is what we will be discussing next week on Jannat and Jahannam. Starting with philosophical concepts, right? And then getting onto a few physical descriptions. But today we will look at Surah Al-A'raf. Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 46. This is the only place in the Holy Quran which has mentioned A'raf. And before I explain what A'raf is, let us recite the verses. There are, I think, 5 or 6 verses only that describe A'raf, what is going to transpire and what is going to happen, and people on A'raf and all that. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa baynahuma hijab. وعلى الأعراف رجال يعرفون كلا بسيماهم ونادوا أصحاب الجنة أن سلام عليكم لم يدخلوها وهم يطمعون وإذا صرفت أبصارهم تلقاء أصحاب النار قالوا ربنا لا تجعلنا مع القوم الظالمين ونادى أصحاب الأعراف رجالا يعرفونهم بسيماهم قالوا ما أغنى عنكم جمعكم وما كنتم تستكبرون أهؤلاء الذين أقسمتم لا ينالهم الله برحمة ادخلوا الجنة لا خوف عليكم ولا أنتم تحزنون. This 4 verses, I think, are talking about A'raf. This is the only mention of A'raf in the whole Quran. Now, what do you understand by A'raf?
The heights. The heights. Something very high.
Something very high.
Some place for you.
Some place. Reserved for? Some place very high. Of course, it's a place high that is, when Allah is talking of Jannat and Jahannam, بَيْنَهُمَا وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَاب, right? Means between Jannat and Jahannam there is a hijab. There is a curtain kind of. There is something that will block each other from seeing each other. Jannat and Jahannam. وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَاب وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ. A'raf now is a place. That is agreed.
There is not in heaven.
That is not in heaven, is not in hell.
So it's in that hijab, or on top of that earth. That hijab necessarily doesn't mean earth.
It doesn't mean, no.
It's a barrier.
It doesn't mean they can't see, because they can't see.
No,
it was a verse.
You can enjoy shakeshi.
Jannat Dhanavar.
They can talk as well. There was a verse between
them. This one, how much you talk?
In case you come up for pani pink, for...
How much you?
They throw pani pink up there.
But there was a hijab.
There was a barrier that they cannot cross into each other.
But in that barrier,
they cannot cross each other.
Hijab is sight.
Yeah.
Right? Yahjubu, yahjubu means cover from sight. Bainahuma hijab, at least there is a barrier, whatever, it's a barrier, but it means a barrier to do with something not being able to see each other. Sound nu bhavasi. You will see as we go on what this means, so that we can picture the classic scenario, okay, what will it be like?
I think there is a verse where the people of Jahannam are asking. Wanado ashab,
say, how much? How much? Suratul A'raf, verse number 50. ونادى أصحاب النار أصحاب الجنة أن أفيضوا علينا من الماء أو مما رزقكم الله ولا سكيلة كبرى مقلوني
باني بيكو تو
باني
بيكو
بينهما حجاب فلس وعلى الأعراف and the whole thing is أعراف ما قوم شيء who is there on أعراف that is of significance.
Is there a place of people in the state of limbo, neither they are there?
Is that what you would understand by A'raf?
Well, they can't go to Jannah.
They're not in Jannah.
No, they can't go to Jannah. But they should not have entered it yet.
They are not in Jannah?
Yet.
Uh-huh. Nor are they in the fire of hell.
Exactly, so it's a state of limbo.
Okay.
Or maybe they're in that barrier.
He says yet, so which implies that maybe they wonder.
That's his interpretation, yet. So that means they could be going to Jannah.
Those people who have not been processed as such.
They're out sinning, says, you must.
According to the Tafsir, these are Ahlul Bayt. But there's a part of this verse that says that they hope to do so. That makes it a little bit difficult for their translation.
Case of Simash Ahlul Bayt.
Ahlul
Bayt. Ahlul
because they will be picking people up by their signs.
Right. Tafsir ma, there are three different interpretations. A'raf. Ke A'raf ma kon se. Mind you, A'raf is an established, is a place outside Jannah, outside Jannah. Right? More superior or not, it comes from the text of the following verses as we recite. It is definitely a more lofty place, a more elevated status, A'raf. A'raf is an elevated status,
more
because they will be addressing the people going into Jannah, and they will be addressing the people in the fire of hell. Whereas from Jannah, there will be a hijab between the people of Jannah and the people of Now, let's try and understand this. The verse says, and this is very important, this is the crucial bit, the three verses, the three interpretations. Number one, like I said, A'raf Nindar, first interpretation is that the people who will be in A'raf will be those who did not have the chance to do anything in this world. For example, those who died at a very early age, or those who are insane, mad, right? These people, they were not obliged to do anything on earth. So how can they get Jannah? Right? And therefore these people will be in A'raf. That is one kind of interpretation. A second interpretation is what Arif was saying, Kilibo. The good deeds don't outweigh the bad deeds, nor do the bad deeds outweigh the good deeds. And therefore the balance is 50-50. And these people will be neither in Jannah nor in Jahannam, and we'll go to A'raf. And this is, I mean, I have heard this from my childhood. This is the most common interpretation. Okay, A'raf will be for those who will not make it to Jannah, nor will be those who have been pushed into hell.
Right, so not the 50-50, but people who have been essentially good, but they don't have the ma'rifat of Islam.
To go to Jannah.
Like, you know, good people, saints, but in their own faith, not Islam. Like, you know,
Hatim Zayed.
Martin Mother Teresa. Well, say that was 45 or anyway, right? Mahatma Gandhi, for example. You know, those are the kind of things that we used to give. But, you know, Siddhartha Desai has also talked about this, that he was asked this question. You know, questions other than a pillar?
Your question answered, yeah.
He was asked. He said there are
different hadiths. Remember, I mean, this is tafsir, like we said right from the first lesson. Yeah, this is tafsir. There is no hard, set, concrete interpretation. And you will find hadith giving credibility to both different kinds, or three different kinds of interpretation. But the interesting thing is, what we have to do is, we have to weigh it from the context of the verses. What do the verses say? Right?
Doesn't it mean that first he goes into Jahannam and then goes to Jahannam?
No. You see, the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds. That does not mean you'll have to get punished for the bad deeds and then the good deeds. No. It means they will when they outnumber, they negate, actually cancel.
I have a problem with Abbas. What Abbas is saying.
Yeah, that is a different. I have a problem with that too, but that is a different.
Okay, maybe what I'm trying to say is there could be somebody, maybe Gandhi is around, there could be some, you know, put on a religion Brahmanic, Puro Pabandriyo, he knew the rules of his faith. Say, for example, he was a Christian, a staunch Christian, and a couple of the Amara rules, and he obeyed them. Very, very well.
The Christian is doing shirk.
The point is, he doesn't have marifat of Islam, means he's never been exposed to Islam.
Agreed, but if he's doing shirk, there is no way he could go to him.
No, but shirk nahi karta, he believes in one God, man.
Not always. There's also this possibility, if you have a Sunni, for example.
Huh?
A Sunni.
Yeah.
Who is a much better Muslim than a Shia.
Agreed.
Right? Would he go to Jannah? There are so many different. Abbas comes from the angle of monotheism. If you go to the other extreme, there are scholars who believe, and there are ahadiths that categorically say that anybody who has not said shahadat atalida will not enter. Right? Okay. There's a very strong school of thought that believes that, and to these people. Sunnis, they're good Muslims, pious, they did not do haram. As long as they have not said the third shahadat, they will not enter Jannah. They will go into a place like A'raf. If A'raf's interpretation was that it will be a place for those who cannot enter Jannah. Right?
Why this thing about in A'raf that you say that they might be people who have died prematurely, for example, who have not had a chance to do anything, or these people, or something else that you're going to say, why are they contradicting hadiths? Because there was no motive here to fabricate the hadith. It's only purely an academic thing.
This was not fabrication. Mind you, ahadiths that have crept into the treasure of ahadiths are not only fabrication. They have been distorted deliberately and by mistake. People who have not understood would add on their own interpretation. And over the years...
It happens so simply. I mean, if you look at oral tradition, I just suppose, the tradition is oral. You hear from Mustafa. You go and somebody asks you something. It's very difficult for you to faithfully reproduce
Chinese whispers.
Because
here you have like three separate possibilities. And it's like a very academic thing. You know, people don't talk about this in the market.
You will find that in Al-Kafi itself, Usul al-Kafi ma, in itself, that there are ahadiths that talk about both things. That you will get A'raf is for people who are balanced, sort of 50-50, who have not done good enough to go to Jannah, nor have they done bad enough to go to hell. They're in that state. And you will find the ahadiths that say that A'raf is for place reserved for us Ahlul Bayt. Imams have said it. Ji.
You know this one you said about people who had a chance, like with your children and stuff like that. Isn't that a bit unfair? Because they weren't given a chance.
They were not.
Yeah, if they were given a chance, maybe they would have excelled.
The whole thing is that what will happen to them is a different discussion altogether, how Allah will judge them. What we're saying, the different tafsirs available, different interpretation available for who will be in A'raf. One is people who believe that such people will go to A'raf and not to Jannah. Insane, children.
So according to this tafsir, that's not a lofty place. According to that first explanation, it's not lofty at all. It's just a
lofty.
Even to the second tafsir. But Ayatullah Tabatabai, and he strongly reflects that.
Which is the second tafsir?
Second tafsir was which one? Third tafsir is ki Ahlul Bayt. Atran tafsir then? Three different interpretations. One, ki nana bacha or janmi ne tarah tarah kuchh jayi, athwa to ganda jayi hoyi. Number two, ki je vacho vacho ponche. Not done good enough to go to Jannah, nor bad enough to go to Jannah. Ne three jo Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam ke shay ke nai, amar jaga chhe jiboi nahi thi. Right? Hawe, Faraz is right, there is a stark difference. Because by it being the place reserved for Ahlul Bayt, means it is a very high place.
Doesn't the word A'raf also be not knowing?
A'raf means from knowing.
From Arafah, yeah?
Ah, exactly.
So it is a place of Marifah, maybe.
That's what the Ahlul Bayt is saying. The hadith that support this particular interpretation of Ayatullah Tabatabai. That it is going to be the place where Ahlul Bayt. Any dalil tamayyam, if you go through the verses, you will see that he has proved it not in one way but in several ways.
So, Abbas mentioned, Wahum Yatma'un.
I'm coming to
that. Oh, you are.
Because
I
we have to take verses.
I think Arif and I figured that one out.
Have you figured that?
We think so, we'll see.
Right. Let's start with the verses. Keeping in mind that Ayatullah Tabatabai believes that A'raf is a place reserved for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
And when Allah Tabatabai says that, he usually, as you mentioned, brings that his reasoning from the Quran itself.
Absolutely.
And we're going to go
to
that.
We're going to do that. He says, the people who believe that A'raf are people who have not made it to Jannah because they have not done good enough. Right? The second theory. He says, they make a mistake in the first verse, 46. Because 46 Niyandar, if you read the English translation, and they called the people of Jannah, that peace be on you. They have not entered it yet, and they desire to enter it. Right? They wish to enter it. However, this they is referring to who?
Yeah, we figure it's the entry is talking about Ara.
Sorry?
The people of Jannah want to enter Araf. That's what we think it is. That's why they have not entered it. Right?
They will not enter it.
They have not entered
they
it.
Want to enter Araf.
They shall not have entered Araf, but they are desirous to do so. That's what we think it is.
Okay.
From Jannah, yeah. That it's a loftier place, so they want to enter it. That's what
we are looking at
things.
Yeah,
because
if it's opposite, then... No, we're saying that these... This thing is happening at a time when people who are destined to go to Jannah have not entered Jannah yet. Right? So these are Ashabul Jannah going towards Jannah, when from above, people of A'raf will look at them and say, Salamun alaykum. Udkhuluha aminin.
They said they're inmates of the garden.
You see, if you look at, I'll tell you. Let me take you to the verse. Verse number 49. Just two verses down. Udkhulu al-jannata la khawfun alaykum wa la antum tahzanun. Enter. Right? So that means that at that time they had not entered paradise yet. Are you? So the scenario is, okay, people who are going towards Jannah have not entered Jannah yet. And people who are going towards the fire of hell, have they entered the fire of hell or not yet? Let's look at it.
They have.
Yeah.
Because
we're
not together with
them,
just people.
قَالُوا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ.
It means it's totally future.
Don't put us with.
That means they haven't been to it yet.
They haven't. People, those who are asking haven't.
That
means people of Jannat have not entered. But
why? I think that, you know,
there's
some merit in that.
There is a possibility.
If they are already inmates, right? Like they are inmates, right? So why are they they have not entered, but they are hopeful they will enter? They should know they are entering. They are inmates of Jannat. They are inmates of Jannat.
There is a difference. You don't wish for it?
No, not wish for it, but you know. Hopefully, you are not being misled.
If they are that queue, they know they are going there.
They have knowledge because they must have some knowledge, because they're saying they shall be men who know all of them by their marks.
Yes.
So that means they've got some kind of knowledge.
Kullan bisimahum.
They're looking at people and just by some marks on them.
On that day there will be special signs. For pious people, whiteness get lost. For the good people, elokono whiteness get lost. Just by their faces, they will be able to say, get lost pious in conscience.
So they're not those mad, insane people. And they're not 50 people, because they have marifat of something.
Exactly. I am quite convinced. That is, the Quran is quite clear about it. Right? The only thing that put people off the mark was, our sin, وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ. Right? لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ. That means they hadn't entered it and they were aspiring. That put them off. Is it referring to A'raf, Ashab al-A'raf, Ashab al-Jannah? Whereas Ayatullah Tabatabai is taking it is not referring to Ashab al-A'raf, it is referring to Ashab al-Jannah. They have not yet entered Jannah, and just before they enter Jannah, they are somehow stopped, or rather they are addressed by Ashab al-A'raf, which means the A'imma alayhi wasalam, right? And they are saying, ki bhai, eloko sathe pehla, Jannah tawara sathe baat kare chhe, salamun alaykum, right? Sathe sathe, at the same time, they are also talking to the people from the fire of hell, and saying that whatever you amassed or collected is useless to you today. Are these the people who are going into Jannah? Are these the people which you say, people of hell, had said, okay, they will never be encompassed by the mercy of Allah?
There is a tafsir about that. I don't remember a verse saying that as people enter into heaven, they will be told, Salaamun Alaikum, before they have entered.
Malaika.
Malaika will come and tell them, Salaamun Alaikum.
Udkhuluha Aminin.
Udkhuluha Aminin.
Yes.
So this is also before they have entered, right?
This looks like even before that. Okay, this is like proving to the people of the fire of hell, okay, aren't these the same people you had said, okay, they will not get mercy of Allah because of their weakness on the earth, whatever it is, because you had amassed so much, that the reference is to jam'aku, right? قَالُوا مَا أَغْنَ عَنْكُمْ جَمْعُكُمْ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Verse number 48, right? This is the address of people of A'raf to the people of the fire of hell.
When you say that the people of A'raf talk to the Jannah, it looks like a very small area.
Very interesting. Very interesting. It's like I'm talking to this father this side,
metaphorically, maybe that's.
It's a different dimension.
No, you can't imagine that. I mean, today one person can speak and 3 billion people can understand it and hear it.
Only
by human technology.
It's technologically today is very possible.
But not only that, it's...
But our technology is nothing.
Compared to that technology.
Yeah, I mean, we're only talking about baby stuff.
Also, it's like one voice everybody will be able to hear, right?
And those like nature to understand probably is different.
Yeah. But it is going to be... that one single announcement will be heard by everyone without fail.
Yeah. This is like the people of in Arafah, talking to Jahannam.
They will have the people of Arafah are not only people, right? They will have them. That is why I say, okay, Ashab al-Jannah and Ashab al-Nar, there is a hijab. They will not be able to talk to each other. And we look at the verses now, right? Which comes to the people of Jahannam will call out the people of Jannah and give us from your what stuff.
There. Are these only the Aimah or are these As-Sabiqun, As-Sabiqun?
No, these are only the Aimah. Ahlul Bayt Aimah. As-Sabiqun, As-Sabiqun are referring to people who will make it into Jannah.
But that's also Ashabul Jameen. People making the Jannah.
Of course.
So Ashabikun is like the top, you know, the creme de la creme.
Ashabul Araf?
No, Ashabikun.
Of course.
But this, they're not the same as this.
I think these people are here for some other purpose, for intercession.
Possible. Well, you see, you can see they have a bird's eye view. Right? They have access to both people of hell and people of heaven.
They are not bound by the hijab.
They are what Imam Ali al-Islam says, Ana qasimul nar wa jannah. Ana qasimul jannah wa nar. Right? This is what they are.
Distributor.
I am going to remain.
So this is the highest level of
No, it's your turn. You see, Jannah Sushi. Let's finish with the Arab before we go into Jannah.
Another thing I just noticed, the first verse is when it talks to the people. The first word when Arab is mentioned, Ashab al-Arab, it talks to the people of the heaven. We have not gone into heaven yet. But the second one doesn't say it talks to the people of hell. Again, it talks to the people of hell.
Because it's stressing on hell.
No, it doesn't say whom it's talking to, number 48.
Yeah.
The general kind of like that, but it would make sense that they would talk to the people of hell.
That's true, that's possible. It's possible that they still haven't made it to hell. You said these are the first ones to go into Jannah.
That's what I'm saying.
Bija unhe kiye chhe ki jo aaj ho sada
48 mana thi ne
ashab Jannah right
ka to ashab lolwe
na na
nothing is there. It's a general announcement.
But see, on the translation, it actually says unto the inmates of hell.
Where?
In my translation, this translation.
In the translation or brackets?
No, in the translation, no brackets.
There's no hell in the.
I know, but so this guy's no.
In fact, it makes it more plausible
that it is hell.
Okay, to the rest, nana hell manao. Okay, to the rest who have not yet entered Jannah nor determined ke Jannah majana je, everyone ke jo alokane tamhe thato tu ke Khuda will not have mercy on them, let them enter heaven straight up. But these are indicators. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْكُمْ جَمْعُكُمْ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ is an indicator that it is people of hell.
It is big tafsir then. Maybe forgot brackets.
Ji, what is your question?
All the people of hell, why is Allah stressing about people who amass wealth and all the other things?
Wealth?
Nothing.
Hali wealth? Jam'ukum is amassing. Right? Whether collection of wealth check, a collection of knowledge check, a strength check, a children check,
I
don't know. Tastakbirun is arrogance. Arrogance for any reason whatsoever.
He gave several reasons. Which are the other reasons? What's the one?
If you read the whole thing, Lam Yadkhuluha is referring to Ashab al-Jannah, not Ashab al-Araf. That is number one. So that confusion, because it is ambiguous, it can be possible both. It can be Ashab al-Araf, it can be Ashab al-Jannah. Then he says the evidence of Lam Yadkhuluha comes when they say Udkhuluha. So that means that one is referring to Ashab al-Jannah as well. Are you okay with that so far? Right. Now, how are we going to research here, Araf Ajaon?
Well, Araf Rijal, does it mean that men, the people came in?
Huh?
Men has taken people. Rijal here means people.
Although it literally translated as men, but it means people. It will include women as well.
I thought such a term would be nas, for example.
It would be.
Insan is man, referring to man and woman.
Nas,
but Rijal is a man, Rajul. Yeah.
खुदा कुरान के अंदर कुरान के अंदर पांच जगह पांच के छह जगह है रिजाल वापस
भैया भैया एक बाजू कुछ रिजाल ने एक बाजू कुछ अस्हाब 46 में वाल आराफ रिजाल 48 में वनादा अस्हाब
आराफ रिजाल यारिफूनहु बिसिमा अगेन
वो मैं रिजाल इसका नाम अस्हाब इंटरचेंजेबली
डजंट मेक अ डिफरेंस अब यूज हियर रिजाल It means, ayatullah taba taba yalla hadsu dike che, it may mean ke overwhelming. So there are more men than women. Nothing to say ke khali manasu che. Right. Any question? Now I take you to Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 32. This verse number 32 is a very important verse, huh? Points out a very important fact. How has it been translated? Verse number 32. 32 answer. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ إِبَا
Say, who have prohibited the adornment of God, which he hath brought forth for his servants and the good things of the provisions. Say, these are for those who believe in the short life of this world to be exclusively theirs on the Day of Judgment. Thus do we explain in details the signs for a people who know.
English will be description. English will be explanation.
Yeah. that translation now is different. Who say, O Muhammad, who has forbidden the adornment which Allah has brought forth for his servants and the good things that he has provided?
See.
Baji, say, and this is where it's very different. These, on the Day of Judgment, will be exclusively for those who believe during the life of this world. Thus we explain the sign.
Such a vast difference in translation.
He can take a short life of this world.
Short is in brackets.
On the Day of Judgment, these will be exclusively for those who believe during the life of this world. These zenith, I believe, yeah. They're talking about the zenith. And I don't think your meaning is the same, is it?
It says, these are for those who believe in the life of this world.
Who believe in the life, yeah? And here it says, who are believers in this life.
No, to believe, then, comma, in the life of this world, exclusively, theirs on the Day of Judgment. I think it means the same. He's saying these are for those who believe, and then comma.
I think it means the same.
World,
just more convoluted.
In this world.
That one is very literal, archaic type. You know, where you take a word and maintain the structure, but it doesn't
generally
convey the same meaning. You see, the spirit of the meaning is conveyed more so in the new translation, right?
What does it say? It says that those who believe in this world.
Believe in this world, not as in belief of this world. Believe in this world who are believers in this world. That's what it means. Right?
While they're in this world.
Then there's another one, Al-Mal wal-Banun zinatul hayatul dunya, right?
Yeah.
So in that way it's...
What do you understand by this? There are two sentences here. Qul man harrama zinatallah allati akhraja linnas, right? لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ This is number one. قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمِ الْقِيَامِ These are two statements. Right? First one is a response to people who are trying to...
Be stingy when they have wealth.
No, stingy.
Not
that. Asceticism. Ascetics, right? Okay, they don't want to take part in this kind of modshok, you know, they call this a worldly maja niyanati madhaka. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قُلْ مِنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْعِبَادِ These are adornments that Allah has endowed on us, right? But then he adds, he says, قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. These things are for those who believe in this world, as in who are believers in this world, exclusive on the Day of Judgment. Okay, our sentence, what does it mean?
It means Adunya Mabadani Malaysia, whether they are believers or not. It's that Rahman and Rahim. Whereas on the after
I think which are allowed here are not allowed in jail. Those things which are not allowed in this world will be allowed in the Day of Judgment.
No, it means on the Day of Judgment it will not be everybody who gets it. Whereas here, you don't have to be a Muslim to get the good stuff, otherwise everybody will become Muslim.
When he says these are for those, what is these? You don't know.
Probably, yeah.
Zenith. قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق قل هي للذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا خالصة يوم القيامة.
This man harama first, it means like it's just a way of saying it. Kon na pa yung shita ng lokani ay nakaroon, right?
Kon na pa.
That means do it. You take advantage.
See, I have to put up my next series here, which I tried to understand. He says that حب الشهوات is something that is very strong in the human being. Now, الشهوات, حب الشهوات means حب الأكل والشرب وحب النكاح. Right? These are two things that are very strong in the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
حب means the love.
حب is love, yeah? Akhlo shim eat. Hubul nikah is room. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this love but as a means to an end in this world. That is why everybody has it. Right? The means, for example, hubul akhlo shub. Akhlo shub is eating and drinking. That is for survival of self. If we don't eat, we can't survive. If we don't drink, we can't survive. So in order to make us survive, in order to make sure that we do survive, he created the love for this thing, so that we survive. But she and at the other extreme, we go to the other extreme of overeating and over drinking and not making sure whether it is right or wrong, good or bad. That is our doing. But the basic necessity of drinking and eating is a necessity more than just a حب الشهوات, just as a desire. It's not just a desire, it is a necessity, right? So he says, Ayatollah Tabatabai, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created حب الأكل والشرب, but for a reason. And that is for survival of self. Whereas حب النكاح لبقاء النوع, that means for procreation. That was as a prerequisite for procreation. To make sure that insan, human being, the species human being survives, he had to create a system. And in that system, he created Hubbun Nisan, Hubbun Nikah. Right? So, whilst the pleasures we derive from Hubbul Akl wa Shurb and Hubbul Nikah, maybe pleasures per se in our eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them pleasures only as a means of establishing a more important goal in the system that He has created.
Meaning that if they were not pleasurable, people might not do them.
Absolutely.
If it was only a duty for
them. Right? And that, he says, is the difference between the pleasures that are there in this world and the pleasures that are going to be there in the hereafter. For there is no question of survival of self or species. And therefore it will have to be much more pleasurable than even one can comprehend. Because he says, whatever is here, right, is pleasure, but the pleasure is there because there is a secondary goal or aim as survival of self and survival of species. Na'mat, na'im, Jannah is always used as na'im, right? a place where bounties are, you know, it's full of bounties. All these Na'im al-Jannah are these things, that they will be pleasures but without any aim or without any goal. Of course, needless to say, that if we count the pleasures of this world, scholars will differ. We as ordinary men can sit down and say, Ya Hubbul Akal, Ya Hubbul Nisa are the greatest pleasures, right? But this is ordinary people. If you look at people who have reached the status of piety, who have understood religion, to them the greatest pleasure is achieved by being able to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their goal, their aim is, when you talk of Jannat to them, they think of Jannat as a place where they will be able to hear Allah directly. Nobody will see Allah ever. But to hear Him directly, Hadith says that there are certain reserved believers. There are certain kind of believers who, because of their good deeds, will get this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will be talking to them directly. Now that is something that believers aspire to. Wait, that is something great. Now we may not understand. Kaike aapni akal aapni samajh kya samjhi.
I think there's one more point to that, that if that gift was ever bestowed on people like us, we would not even appreciate it, perhaps. They probably reached the level where they appreciate it. I mean, when our Aima, for example, appreciate namaz, how many people actually have an appreciation to that extent? We're trying to get finished with it as fast as we can.
But if you could recite the namaz in the same conditions that the Imam is reciting, and when I say condition, I mean the purity of salah, which is not there. Right? If we were granted that purity, which we have to develop, I mean it has to evolve. It's not something that is granted, it is something that is developed over years.
No, but what I was saying was, we are so undeveloped that had Allah given us that gift to talk to Him directly, we'd not appreciate it. Simply because we haven't developed that.
It's true.
Safran's exactly right. You look at the Quran and those Jews, they were seeing miracles on a daily basis. On a daily basis, the food was coming from heaven. I mean, it was a miracle a day, basically. And they weren't going anywhere. I think there's a very interesting book I'm reading right now called Mapping the Mind. And what it's talking about is that all our mind's processes have got an activation level and then a plateau. Whether it be sexual drive, hunger, anything, any experience, the mind will take to it and then get used to it. And then there will be a time when that same thing that interested you and fascinated you so much, the fascination is gone. Like he is giving the example of the sexual urge and the food, is within the time that you have achieved those things, you totally lose interest in those things. You know, they could not entice you again till again that time lapse has passed, right? So you were saying that way there can be the greatest experience, and the example they used was talking to royalty. You talk to royalty and it's fantastic. You talk to royalty every day, it's no big deal.
The charm dies.
So you know, the point is, this is that, and I remember reading it, when I read that, I thought to myself, the challenge of creating a heaven that is fascinating every second must be, only God can do it.
That's because, exactly what he's saying.
Because
yeah.
there is nothing to lose in heaven and nothing to gain. You can't die, so why eat?
So there is no monotony in it.
To make it not monotonous is a challenge in itself. So there must be a different reality out there, totally different. Because our minds are such, nothing phases us for more than a few. You know, after a while, it's all the same.
Oh, a secret knowledge also, this is
true. You're right. It is a hypothesis. But what I'm trying to say is that.
So, what were you saying? What?
Ritual of prayer, namaz, ni how to keep it fresh.
Getting a monotonous, get the pleasure. But if you extend this hypothesis, but monotonous,
ના પણ આ દુનિયામાં એ નથી પ્રોબ્લેમ નહીં, કારણ કે દુનિયામાં શું છે કે ધ સેમ નીડ્સ કમ અગેન. એટલે ખુદા નથી કહેતો કે તું છે ને કલાક બે કલાક માટે નમાઝ પર રાત નંદા એવરી સો આફ્ટર યુ પ્રે વેન યુ વોન્ટ ટુ રીકનેક્ટ. That is why you
basically there are things that you
can eat in the morning and then you want to
get to that level of monotony, you would still have to do it. You would still need to do it. I don't even know, right? Similarly, the prayers, I personally think, even if the charm goes, right, we either make it more interesting by mustahabat or something, but at the same time, it has to be done. jitlo wajib chhe, basic level, it has to be done. But that is exactly what Ayatollah Tabatabai is saying here in for this particular verse. Okay. Jannat mein na'im je chhe is going to be so different. Right? It's going to be so different because the pleasures that are known to us in this world are different. Right? And they're there for a reason. Yeah, there is no such reason. And therefore, everything will be so different. There will be rivers flowing down the gardens. In fact, Surat Rahman Mache, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Two jannats. Right? Two jannats, no interpretation. Tamhe beso joa ke bhai aa be jannat kya thi? Jannat evo moto hase ki hisab. Ek jannat lakhyo chhe ke jannat ardh ho samawat wala. A jannat that is as large as the skies and the earth together. Ye ema pachi be jannat. Question is ke what is this? Be jannat, is it size ke two pieces of land as we try to analyze it here? Is it like that or is it something different? I thought that Tabatabai believes it's something totally different.
He is the one who believes that it's not bodily pleasures. It's all physical, psychological stuff. Has he argued to say that Jannat is not physical?
No, he doesn't say that. Like I said, Jannat is still reading about it. So much about Jannat.
Physical.
He believes.
All the metaphors are physical. But that's because anything more complex than that.
We won't be able to
understand. Would not entice you. Would not entice man.
Or fear, create fear, as is for Jahannam. Okay, if in Jahannam there is talk about food, food here is for survival. So food there will be for what? For pleasure of eating? If there is no necessity of survival, then you wouldn't eat. You wouldn't die if you don't eat. Yet he talks of food in the fire of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks of food. So why does he talk of food? When food here is a necessity for survival, but yeah, there is no question of survival. Why does he talk of food?
So the thing about food is very, very tricky, because why would you reach for something in heaven if there was hunger? But if there's no hunger, why would you reach for food in heaven?
Taste fine.
Huh?
Taste
fine. Hunger,
is there hunger?
No, hunger is not for survival. Hunger is not. You don't eat, you die. Right?
No, it's a built-in mechanism, it's a feedback mechanism. When the stomach is at a certain, when your reserves
are low. Reserves are low, you feel hungry, for the pleasure of eating itself, it must be a different kind of sensation. This is what Ayatollah Tabatabai believes. It must be a different kind of sensation altogether.
There is a verse in the Quran which says that when you receive the namaz, you say, this is different from what I imagined, but similar still.
That one we've done.
It is in Surah
Al-Baqarah, Mashi. We did that verse.
Baqarah, Mashi, Insan, Mashi, Dahar.
Huh?
Dahar? Baqarah. Yeah, this is similar to what we had imagined, yet different.
You see, if you look at verse number 25 of Surah Al-Baqarah, is that the verse you're referring to?
David says it is like this, but it's mean mutashabihan. Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one. وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا.
They will be given something which is like it.
Like it as well.
But it will not be that.
وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار. Jannat ka baram ashi, I just got these two books just now. The interesting concept I would like to find out. Why is Jannat in Tajri min Tahtiha?
Everywhere it's the same thing.
So many times.
Yeah.
What is so fascinating about rivers flowing like that? Okay, I know it is a very fascinating sight. If you go somewhere, where there is a piece of land and river flows, either
it also says rivers underneath. Where have you seen that before? I mean, all the rivers are on top. You don't have rivers underneath.
And I think it refers to this. It makes an idiom referring to the rivers flowing at your feet, not under the ground, surely.
No. At your feet. But imagine the hadith mache. It will be like rivers will be flowing, they will be under your command. No. The rivers will be under your command. The Sanskrit.
Rivers of what exactly?
Rivers of milk, rivers of honey. Again, rivers of milk, rivers of honey. These are hadith matlubatu shay. This is something I find very cultural, peculiar to Arabic. It talks of honey, it talks of milk, it talks of these drinks that were very popular with Arabs. Aji, I can find so many people who don't like it. To them, right, it's going to be cow. Who don't
milk
like
and honey not in the Quran?
Eh? Huh? No, hadith much. Hadith much. Look, say pearls, for example. Marjan, right? Yaqut. All these are gems mentioned in hadith.
Marjan and Yaqut, what are they?
Lulu and Marjan.
Lulu and Marjan is the same thing, eh?
Is Marjan is a pearl?
Lulu and Marjan is a book, right? Lulu is in Quran.
Lulu is pearls.
Yeah, it is, but it is in different context.
Marjan is something like pearls.
Lulu is mentioned for the eyes of the Huris. Correct? It is mentioned for the eyes, right? It is not mentioned for as an adornment. It's mentioned kya lagana aankh jise lo lo jo
hai. Ah, I see. Lo lo marjan.
Right. Why should we do this verse? Why did we do this verse?
Mutashabi.
Not this one, the one we just did.
Na'im, Na'im al Jannah, the pleasures of Jannah will be different. That's mutashabih. No,
all Jannah.
Ah, no.
Araf ke link che.
Araf ke link na thi, Jannah pa giri gaya.
Very good, inshallah. Araf 32 I'm talking about.
Araf 32.
So you said it's a very important verse.
It's because it describes this. This is the verse that Ayatollah Tabatabai uses to say, to prove. Right? Khalisatan jachene. So why to their exclusion? What is so different about the pleasures there and here? And he uses this verse to describe that the difference is in the pleasures that are there and the pleasures that are here. How are they different?
This is day of judgment. What you're talking about is judgment and food. But how do you say day of judgment? Why does it say day of judgment?
It doesn't say day of judgment, it says day of resurrection. The day.
The day of judgment.
Yom al Qiyam.
Yom al Qiyam.
Yom al Qiyam. Because I guess on Yom
that is the day when everything will be decided.
So we haven't finished this verse yet, have we? This one, but Allah says, why are you denying yourself these things that I've made halal? No, the second, this is the final explanation of the second thing. How does it relate to the second part of it?
Yeah.
Where it's exclusively on the Day of Judgment. What exactly are we saying here?
You see, when people were talking about pleasures of this world, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are certain pleasures we have not made haram. This is the first part of the verse.
Is he exclusively talking about those things like celibacy and whatever? Are we talking
yes,
about
no,
wealth and everything else?
Everything you can think of. Every pleasure you can think of.
Right.
Zinat, al-mal wal-banun.
Again, a verse belamai chhe. There's a verse before is linked to that, except God says, kasraf nakal.
Kulu washnabu wala tusrif, innahu la yuhibbul musrif.
Adorn yourself, first of all.
Khudu zinatakum anda kulli masjid.
It's equivalent to saying, spend out of the wealth Allah has given you.
Yes.
So exactly, that's it.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Imam Ali al-Islam basabe bhaiya yawada. Remember those two brothers, sister, naam chhe lakam? Ek bhai aayo ke ma bane bhai paisa ke bijo bhai aayo chhe ne he was down to tatters ne rags ne to imam ali rahe wala bhai ne bole tu shama te aitna kare chhe ke tame pote you know I mean I see you and I learn from you eat dry bread
He's supposed to be an example. How does that work?
No,
Imam Ali gave the reason.
He gave a reason. Imam Ali said, I have the leadership of all Muslims, and I have to live below the lowest standard of any of my subjects. You don't have to do that. But see, Chhatai Imam has a hadith where he recites this verse, Chhatai Imam Eid Nadir says, Nau kabra pe, Nau kabra pe. Somebody asked him, Sufi mentality is this, that they have to be ascetic, that they have to disassociate themselves from all these things in the world. So one of them asked the sixth Holy Imam, you, son of the Holy Prophet, wearing a new cloth, and Imam recited this verse, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِيْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ لِعْبَادِهِ. Wearing new clothes is not haram, right? Incidentally, I was just reading a magazine. You know the Sufis? The Sufis, they have this pure worship, ne? They worship somebody who has the powers to be at Lukarishake. So somebody came to a wise man, somebody who was a very staunch Sufi. He came to a wise man and said, look, do you see this person? He is so pious, he can walk on water. So this wise man says, and what is wrong with that? He says, even a frog can drink on water. Okay. Then he says, see this man, he can fly in sky. You know, the people who get to that level of piety are able to do that. They can move around in sky, they can fly. He says, what? I mean, even a bird can do that. Right. So this man got upset. He says, what are you trying to tell me? The wise man says, look. He says, to cut yourself away from this world and to be able to do these things is not a fit. It's not something that is great. Okay. God has created so many things that are doing it. What is important that you live in this world as one of the people living in this world, where you work, where you marry, where you live as everybody else lives, and at the same time, you do not forget Allah at all times. That is success. That is the tasawwuf process. Okay. Oh, find it in the description.
It's from Bustan of Sa'di.
That is the difference between the tasawwuf of the Sufis, who say that we have to disassociate ourselves from the world and reach those heights, and what Islam believes in mysticism, irfan. You can be a mystic, but you have to live in the world and be a mystic. There are certain obligations and duties in this world that you have to perform and fulfill. And then you can't just cut yourself away and say, yeah, now I want to go closer to Allah. It doesn't work that way. Now, coming back to this verse, sorry. The second part of the verse is Allah saying that the pleasures that you see in this world for all, right? Similar pleasures are there exclusively for the believers only on the Day of Judgment. More like what Abbas was saying, Rahim and Rahman. The difference between Rahman and Rahim is that Rahman is Allah's mercy that encompasses all, no discrimination. Whereas Rahim is that mercy reserved for believers only. Similarly, these pleasures, zenith that Allah is talking about, there are these that we see around us for all human beings. But there are those similar ones that are there for believers only on the Day of Judgment. That is what the verse is saying. And if you remember, I think we did this in Surah Al-Baqarah, and it would help to just reiterate. There is this hierarchy of creation, if you remember. Do you remember this? Many of you were not here. Hierarchy of creation, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created something and then its lowest form has been sent to this earth. Now when we enjoy that lowest form, right, Allah already has kept for us something much more waiting for us in the hereafter. And this is what that verse 25 of Surah Al-Baqarah was saying, that every time on that day, on the day of judgment, every time they see something, the fruits of their efforts, they see that, they say, but we have seen this, but something similar is given to them. Not exactly so. Right? Why? Because it is within the same family of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates something, and the highest level of its existence is in His hands. What we experience here, what we see or what we feel or what we hear, is just a lowest form of that existence. وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ حَدِيدٍ. Right? Now, Hadid, Surah Al-Hadid. Hadid is iron. وَأَنزَلْنَا is a process of where it has come down. That means what we have as iron, in its pristine existence, Allah has something different. And we have something different. But we use iron for certain things. Right? And to us, when we see iron on that day, it may be something totally different, but we will identify the resemblance by saying, ah, we've seen this before, but it's not the same form. Something different. This أخرج لعباده أخرج لقيدته. Right? قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده. That these are chosen ones. And these ones, right, وهي قل هي للذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا خالصة.
أخرج لعباده أخرج لعباده.
No. أخرج refers to زينة. Right? That means
chosen ones.
Huh?
No, these are the chosen ones of the zenith.
That means what we have is what Allah has chosen for us to have, but in His actual existence there lies with Him something much better. كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. Somebody was saying something?
قَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ.
لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ.
The قوم is already يَعْلَمُونَ, right?
Yeah, they don't need explanation to them.
If it is يَعْقِلُونَ, which is often used, most often used is يَعْقِلُونَ, right? Can I?
يَعْقِلُونَ چھے برا برش.
Is there any reason this was used? No. Or is قومي يَعْلَمُونَ a term used for Muslims, or?
No, لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. You know what it means? How is it been translated?
Here it says, who can understand.
Yeah, so that they can understand.
No, those who can understand.
Not for a... You see, you may be reading it. You may be reading...
Capable of understanding.
It's capable, so that they may understand. So that they may know. You can read it. You can read it as a community, as a people who know. Right? It would be the same model.
For the people who know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yaqilun is for the people to think about.
To think about. That's the difference.
Explain the signs in detail for those who know.
It says that as well. But in Ibrahim, in the margin, it says, in, who can understand?
لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. So that they... See, this is why I say, a translation, sometimes you have to be a bit living to transfer the spirit of the message.
How would you make it say then to those people who know? So what would the difference? So that has two meanings.
So you can say, we explain the signs in detail so that they may know.
You see, it's like كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. Right? So that they know. That's the whole aim of these verses. It's nothing more. Any other questions?
So what will decide about Araf?
There's nothing to decide about Araf.
They are Ahlul Bayt.
That's what Ayatollah Tabatabai holds. That's what I mean, from the proof that we have. Whilst we are in Surah Al-A'raf, Let's look at other concepts of Jannat and Jahannam, right?
Can I ask you one question? If you go to on Araf 31, Ya Bani Adama, be ye adorned at every time of prostration.
Huh?
Be ye adorned at every time of, what are they saying? Wear your good clothes when you say namaz. What are they saying?
Khudu zinatakum 'inda kulli masjid. The way I understand it is that every mosque should be the excess of all your pleasures, of all the pleasures of your life. That means the mosque should be a central social place where your marriages, your events of, walima karawahoi, all those kind of things should be the mosque. So basically, let you be known by the mosque of your region. That's how it means. How has it been translated?
In bracket, on the margin, it says, this encourages the devotees to be well-dressed and adorned as if they are going in festivity to meet the Lord.
You see, it is khudu, take. Take the mosques to be an adornment for you. That's what it means.
Take the mosques to be an adornment for you.
That's what it means.
Ah.
Let it be an adornment for you. خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ.
If you said خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ, that would be it. But what about the end? How does that fit in?
At.
That's one of them.
Huh?
The meaning pleasure group, but I don't think.
So, the one I said.
Okay, take every mosque as your time. I mean, like, that would be one way of looking at the phrase. It would be an awkward phrase to put it that way, for that meaning.
How
is it mean? Translated, but whether it means what it literally or something else, that's the question.
I am not translating it as like that, okay, the translation changed, but I'm saying the gist of the spirit of the message is, okay, let the mosque be an adornment for you. It will be identified by a mosque. That's the understanding I would have.
I think your khudu is not take. It's idiomatic.
Make. Right. Let me just go through this. It's still in Surah Al-A'raf, because Surah Al-A'raf, these 30-odd verses talk about Jannah, Jahannam, and A'raf, right? So let's stick around there and then we will go and look at other things, inshallah, next time. Let's look at verse 38. We're having a bit of work. Verse 38 is about Jahannam. قَالَ ادْخُلُوا فِي أُمَمٍ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ فِي النَّارِ كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا حتى إذا اداركوا فيها جميعا قالت أخراهم لأولاهم ربنا هؤلاء أضلونا فآتيهم عذابا ضعفا من النار قال لكل ضعف ولكن لا تعلم وقالت أولاهم لأخراهم فما كان لكم علينا من فضل فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكسبون.
Interesting verses hidden away in Arab.
This is about Jahannam. The Jahannam Nyanda. If you look at the verse before that, the angels are telling people who are going to be from the fire of hell, okay, what have you done? You have lost and all that. Now you entered the fire of hell, right? قَالَ ادْخُلُوا فِي أُمَمٍ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ فِي النَّارِ. Enter with the people. With people who have already entered from the jinn and ins, that means jinn and human beings, in the fire of hell. Every time a group enters, a people, right?
So
كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ.
So people will enter in groups. They won't enter one by one or... As a communities. Abu Langish.
كلما دخلت أمة لعنت أختها. It may be referring to, you know, Ummah is a very low, although it may be Ummah, you know, the whole Ummah of the Holy Prophet is one, right? So, when they enter, for example,
Ibrahim is referred to as Ummah, isn't it?
Exactly.
One person.
One person.
That Ibrahim was an Ummah in amongst
one person to a whole Ummah nation. That's the beauty of this word. Now here, very clearly, says, every time a person enters, La'anat ukhtaha, ukhta is in ummah, another ummah, right? But everybody will be looking to shift blame. Ke ame gumrah kon gayo? To have ended up here. Right? To shift blame, I mean this is human nature. Now when they shift blame, they will pray, they will ask Lord, oh Lord, give him double the punishment. For he is the one who misled. And Allah responds in a very particular manner. Allah says, for both of you there is double punishment.
Di'afan
a double. لِكُلِّن دَعْفُ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَعْلَمْ. Right? You do not realize that you are being punished twice. Every one of you. You see, if I enter hell, God forbid, I am going to say, please punish him twice for what he's done to me. Right? I am thinking, okay, look, he deserves double, for he misled me. Right?
Well, what Allah is saying is that you misled.
What Allah is saying, okay, the both of us are going to get double.
That means you've misled someone else.
No. For allowing to be misled.
Alright. Once you don't know it yet, but someone is going to come and blame you in a minute, and then you'll get double.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For allowing to be misled, that demands another punishment. But then double mercy, all Lord, and double mercy is because he was misled himself and he misled others. Now money because I was stupid enough to.
So that one should be but double is like
that is why Allah says, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You do not feel it. But what he is getting twice is exactly what you are getting. Because once for your own sins, and once because he misled, you allowed yourself to be misled, which is equally punishable.
For all
this,
double becomes all religion. For one is double, then it is double. But for all is double, it's all religion.
Sorry, well, the one
is
double.
If someone misled, people, you see many people, and you, one, you let them misled. So he should let them.
We're talking of 1-to-1 here. It becomes 1-to-500, then that one will be 500-to-2. You
know? I mean, it's very. See, obviously, it assumes that as you go in, you recognize the people who misled you. So you are next to them.
Jahannam, you are with them.
You are with them.
Or if, even if.
So people who knew each other are kind of like being are together.
No, you're assuming it's like here. Mm-hmm. Imagine our perceptions be very different. It could
so
be
you are immediately aware of everybody.
Exactly. I think so. I don't
you
think
can locate anyone at any time.
We're looking very three-dimensional.
But then what is it? The former shall say to the latter, and like, who is that who is like?
The people before to the people who afterwards.
Is that what it is?
So then?
Next one.
وَقَالَتْ أُولَاهُمْ
أُخْرَاهُمْ لِأُولَاهُمْ.
No, other one.
Yes.
The one that has been blamed.
أُولَاهُمْ
That is the second verse. You're looking at 39 now. I'm looking at 38.
Oh, sorry.
38 says the second one to enter will complain. They're the first people to misled us. So let them get double punishment. And Allah says, you will also deserve double. For each one there is double punishment. But you will not understand. You will not know. Right? Then says, وَقَالَتْ أُولَاهُمْ لِأُخْرَاهُمْ فَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْسِبُونَ. The first will say to the second, you did not have any superiority over us.
Li means about, ketu, directly addressing.
Huh?
Here it's directly addressing. Nevala Pelama is not.
It is.
Nice. Pelama says about them.
Ah, yes, yes, okay.
So the same li is
used. Yeah, it's applicable. The same li is used.
But in the first one, it means about them, right? Alakana Bharama Buddhas, both. In the second one, it's Alakana Samakyas.
Samakyas. This is bad news, huh? Verse number 40 says, "Inna al-ladina kathabu bi-ayatina wa-stakbaru anha, la tufattahu lahum abwaabu al-sama' wa la yadkhuluna al-jannata hatta yalija al-jamalu fi sam al-khiyat wa kadhalika najzi al-mujrimin."
This is a very, it's in the Quran. There is an article about it on the internet. That by using space and time, it is possible to get a camel to pass through the eye of a needle.
Only Allah can do it.
But only we need to alter some physical laws.
Do you ask Kareji? You need a big needle. I had an argument some time back. Ki bhai, aankh na pinhole ma thi, aapko camel Kareji kare do.
Imam Jafsari ne pe puchhe do. Ki Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aankh dunya ne. એક ઈંડ બનાવી શકે છે તો ઇમામે ની કીધું કે આખી દુનિયા ને તારા આંખમાં યુ કેન સી ધ હોલ વર્લ્ડ
એક જણ એ રીતે જવાબ દીધા છે બીજા જણે બીજી રીતે જવાબ દીધા છે રાઈટ ઇમામ છઠ્ઠી ઇમામ છે ઇમામ એક જણ એ રીતે જવાબ દીધા છે કે આખી દુનિયા ઓર એવર યુ કેન સી કેન ગો થ્રુ ધીસ આઈડ રાઈટ પણ હી ડીડ નોટ સિક્સ્થ ઇમામ ડીડ નોટ મીન કે અલ્લાહ કેન પુટ એન એગ યુ નો ધ હોલ વર્લ્ડ ઇન એન એગ. He just meant ki, for him to understand. Those are the virtual, there's not an answer to the question. Because that is a virtual transfer of image, it's not the physical transfer of the object itself, right? The second question that was put to the sixth Imam, a different person asking the same question, the Imam gave him an answer, how can you have something big put to something small? When that concept cannot exist at all, how can you ask such a question? Can you have a big put inside a small? You can't. Those are primary. You see, there are certain primary rules of the system that cannot be changed at all. Right? Even when trying to understand Allah, you've got to understand these things. Okay. To be and not to be cannot be at the same time. Can it happen? It can't happen. That is the fitrat in which children are created in. That is the system which Allah will not change because it doesn't, it can't take it itself. It can't be and not be at the same time. It can't happen.
There's a great quite answer to this. And if we take Allah, take this argument out for a second. If you take an example, there's a man who only speaks lies. And he says, this sentence is a lie. Is that sentence a lie or not? It's a paradox. And the limitation is in the language. Because the limitation is not there, because this cannot exist. It's a limitation in our language. We just can't, our language can't cope with this kind of paradox. Like in mathematics, our language can't cope with the square root of minus one. Because in the same thing, that you're asking a question for which our comprehension isn't there. Our understandings, our languages cannot comprehend with it.
You see, you are trying to now imagine. You're trying to think, okay, I'm a hase, we can't comprehend.
No, it doesn't make sense.
No, try and understand. Okay, there are things that cannot exist, period.
In the system that Allah has created, within this system, it can't exist.
But if a big goes into a small, then it's no longer big.
It's no longer small.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you're talking about now.
I'm talking about a principle, primary rule.
That rule applies only to this, the system that Allah has created.
Abbas, there was that argument. Can Allah create something so heavy that He Himself cannot?
Yeah, but that's a non-starter.
According to the laws of this system, but this can't happen.
But you have to look at the potential of those laws. If there's no potential of it happening, then there's nothing to beat up.
Only two kind of people will go to heaven, right? Hell. They turned away from Allah's sign, egg, and they were haughty. We'll bow down our head. No, this is verse I'm talking about, right? They will go to hell. But we are hopeful that, you know, these kind of people will then, you know, do their time and come out, right? If they are Muslim. Allah, till cannot pass it through the eye of the needle, they will not come up. So I assume that this means never. It's yes. a way of saying never.
But these are not Muslims in Abbas. These are not Muslims. They can't be.
They can be Muslims, but arrogance has a level. You don't look at just pride and arrogance as we understand it. Arrogance may be defying Allah at all times, deliberately defying Him. Believing in Him, yet deliberately defying Him. Right? Now, that level of arrogance, aapne mistakenly defy kare, ke bhul thi kai kare, that is different. That is arrogance. If we are arrogant because of amassing wealth or amassing knowledge, that is different. But there are certain people who reach the level of arrogance ke aa jaan jare jitna Imam Ali Islam ne hadith nahi ki jare main samay tammar ne badhai ke you will be hanged to aur jaan jare ke nahi Imam Ali ne prove kar iso that level of arrogance will never be forgiven because even if they are believers so when we look at a word ke arrogance ke lies ke pride right this is not the way we understand it there are different degrees and there are certain degrees when it gets to that Allah will not forgive, but she Muslims will get away. Right? Because now questioning the authority of Allah. Okay, Atme Jo, when you talk of this is a very philosophical argument the way something that cannot exist in itself, can it be created by Allah? That is the question. Forget about these primary rules that we are talking of, big into small and small into big and all that, yeah? Forget all that. Just this question, something that cannot exist in itself, can it be created by Allah?
The way I look at it is it's looking at it from the point of view of the system that Allah has created, the laws of physics, the laws of nature, this particular system. It can't be created within this system. Okay? And that's all we can comprehend. But for Allah, He can create any type of system with any type of laws, yeah, which we wouldn't comprehend because they don't exist within.
Right.
So theoretically, I think it's possible.
So theoretically, okay, you say in this world we will not be able to. We say he cannot exist, right? In this world, based on the systems that Allah has created. Once we get to the hereafter, the systems change, the dimensions change. Again, there is a certain system.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That system has set rules, and that rules are the same. That what cannot exist cannot exist.
There might be different.
I think you change the question. Can something exist which Allah has chosen not to create? That's the other way of looking at it.
No. I think that if you keep two immutable opposites, they just can't happen.
Well, there are no immutable opposites where Allah is concerned. We only opposites because of a system is defined.
Either a camel goes through the eye of a needle, or it doesn't.
No, that's within.
If we alter the reality into another system,
absolutely.
That is a different system.
It allows for it to go.
It's like shifting goalposts.
Yeah.
It's like shifting goalposts.
No, but there's no limitation on Allah. People put that as Allah's limitation.
No, we
don't. Allah has defined the goalposts.
Now it's a question like, can Allah lie?
We're talking about systems.
If he wants to, he can. But he's chosen not to.
We're talking about systems that we understand, we comprehend. I mean, the fact is, for Allah, I don't think anything is impossible.
I think certain
for Allah,
are.
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is possible, but even Allah
would not do that.
But he has chosen
for Allah, anything is possible.
Okay, can Allah chuck something out of this kingdom? Can he chuck something under
his kingdom? Yes, he can. It will just cease to exist.
For Allah, nothing is impossible.
The kingdom is God, no limits.
Who's told you? You don't even understand the kingdom. We're living in such a small subset of this kingdom. What do we know?
No, but there is nothing but Allah's kingdom.
Yeah, but if he chooses something to cease to exist, it's not there anymore.
No, but then he's used one example which you can't. And I'm sure if we all sat down, we'd come with many examples.
What I'm saying to you is, we are only looking at things within goalposts Allah has defined. And if he chooses to move those goalposts, number one, we'll probably never know about it.
So then you shouldn't think about it.
No, you can, but understand that Allah is
the
boundary.
Amma, this idiom means never. See,
never, never. Now this idiom is very clear.
Is it normally used? Yes.
Everyone is very common.
No, but then why does he say here, after when it is common, it says, thus do we recompense the gift? Thus do we recompense the gift?
Recompense
is
reward.
Recompense is reward.
Jaza.
Recompense is reward.
Jaza doesn't mean reward. Jaza means what you deserve.
Jaza means in return for what you have.
Yeah, reward means good things. Jaza or khair is.
Recompense. When do you recompense?
Recompense is when you have done
something and you return. What you have done, you
have done. Jaza is normally good. In this case, it's reward.
You mistake. Jaza doesn't. Jaza or khair is a good reward.
No, we jaza means jaza ni azab.
Normally, jaza, even the way Quran refers to jaza, is a recompense. Doesn't mean a good thing. If you do a bad deed, you get a bad jaza.
I don't know if you know.
I think jaza means a return.
Jaza and jaza. Musa.
That's why we say jaza Allah khair. Jaza Allah khair. You're qualifying jaza.
There was a drunkard who told him to pray for him. There was somebody who used to pray a lot, told him to pray for him. And the person who used to pray a lot said, I mean, he was having problems and not having. So I think then he went to Allah and said, hey, both of these people have asked to pray. So Allah, then the person who used to pray a lot was still having problems and not having, I'm not very clear about it. But when he came back, Allah told him, okay, you asked them this question. Can Allah do something of the sort? Like, you know, pass an elephant through an angel or something of the sort. And this drunkard told Hazrat Musa, yes, for Allah anything is possible.
He was however, sober at
the time. Well, I don't know about it. But the fact is, for the person who was praying a lot and everything, he says, no, that's not possible. That is when Allah tells Hazrat Musa.
This is how differently they understand Allah.
You know, how they appreciate, I mean, what... You see, let's face one thing, I don't know. Maybe a little more, whatever it is. For Allah, nothing is impossible.
There is no doubt about that. There is no doubt.
I agree that nothing is impossible, but He is predictable. Do you agree on that? Okay, there are certain ways He can... Because it's actually... In the Mu'tazila and Ash'ari views, this is the big crux, the fight that Imam inspired Shias and the Ash'ari had this big argument that used to rage around the time of Weber, Greer Suva. Okay. There was one group saying, no, Allah can do Allah Shaitani Janat Nakunak Shaitan. Who are we to say no?
They
were saying he can. By saying he can't do that, you are limiting him. He is not broad, he is not limited. Right? But the way the Shia was saying, no, he is predictable in that nature. He has promised that he will do that. He is incapable of breaking the promise. So I think the word incapable is never mentioned in the Vajana Piyavati. Ash'ari was saying, do not put any limit on God. God can do what he likes. If he wants, he will put shaitan in jannah.
But that, now you see.
Argument.
No, but he has clarified that.
Clarify can share. That means you have studied Allah through a system He has proposed. Right?
Maybe He can do whatever He wants, but
He can do whatever He wants. Emma, there is no question. See, a doctor, Hong Kong, a doctor is a doctor. Doctor is free. And a cup of poison, But, સારો ડોક્ટર ક્યારે સારો ડોક્ટર થશે જયારે બીમાર ને સરખી દવા દેશે બરાબર ડાયાબિટીક ને ખાંડ દેશે તો મારી નાખશે રાઈટ અ ડોક્ટર હેઝ ફોલોઈંગ અ સર્ટન સિસ્ટમ એન્ડ અ ડોક્ટર વિલ બી અ ગુડ ડોક્ટર વન હી ફોલોઝ ધ પ્રોપર સિસ્ટમ વોટ હી કેન ડુ ઇઝ ઇન ક્વેશ્ચનેબલ હી કેન ડુ સો મેની થિંગ્સ રાઈટ હું કહું છું ખુદા વંદે તાલા છે ને હી કેન ડુ સો મેની થિંગ્સ હી કેન ડુ એવરીથિંગ રાઈટ નો ક્વેશ્ચન રાઈટ બટ I am saying Achich, can it exist? Can two opposites exist together or not?
What we are trying to say here is you're saying can two opposites exist? For us probably not. For him
he's already
like you said last time. You see, we believe in Adalat, right?
No.
Like you said, he is. But for that matter, we may not.